Michigan, and it was it was the Philadelphia Bible Baptist Church of Rockwood, Michigan, right, Lou? The Philadelphia Bible Baptist Church, the good book, the good church in the book of Revelations. And the church was in an old bar. Well, amen, okay? That's what needs to be in an old bar. But they had entrances where you walk kind of like down a hallway to get into it. And over here on this wall, I got all this. Everybody, Pete knows it, but they all know about missionaries. I'm walking in, my wife's behind me. And my vision, I catch their brochure that's plastered on the wall. Philadelphia Bible Baptist Church, Rockwood, Michigan. The good church in the book of Revelations. We use only the KJV 1611, the Bible that Paul used. And I stopped, and my wife went smack. And she said to me, "Did I read that right?" Yeah? By the way, open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start there. I'm going to give you 3 points. And then I went on in and met the pastor that got set up. And the pastor said to me, "You've got Sunday school. I want you to give a testimony about being saved, being called, about your work, what's going on, show the slides, and you've got 10 minutes. Missionaries, have you come across that? So I did it. Okay? These two people you don't cross in the church, that's the pastor and the treasurer. They know each other, okay? And so afterwards, he said to me, "Has anybody ever put a stopwatch on your mouth?" I said, "You didn't give me a choice. I'm obedient, okay?" And in the question and answer series, little lady, bless her heart, she didn't know any difference. Then she raised her hand, and she said something about New Mexico. And I said, "Man, we're not in New Mexico. We're in Old Mexico." "Oh." I said, "They don't speak English there. They speak Spanish." "I didn't know that." I said, "New Mexico's in the United States. Old Mexico's another country." "Oh, I didn't know that." And I thought, "We're dead." Okay? "We're dead. This is just not going to go anywhere." They did support us for a while. They were in and out for so many times. Okay. I appreciate the preaching that has been done. It's been good preaching. Amen. It's been uplifting. Amen. It has been biblical. It has been spiritual. It has been challenging. That's what a missions conference is about. I have the dubious honor. Jeff, lock the door, okay? My son-in-law is 6'5" and a policeman. You're not going to get out. Amen. We're going to talk about money. Amen. Hello, okay? Just for a few minutes. I'm already over my time. I should be giving an invitation just quickly. I want to give you 3 points, all right? Everybody wants me to preach, but I'm anyway. Somebody's got to talk about money. And we need people to surrender. And we need people to go, okay? Someone has got to go and tell the people that Jesus is alive, okay? Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. And to show them, like I did Manuel and Tina over a plate of breakfast tacos, that God loved them and Christ died for them. And do you want to go to heaven? Will you trust Christ? Yes. And it takes money. Listen to this. The first great commission was given in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12. Abraham and his descendants shall be a blessing to all nations. That's where the great commission started. The king of Assyria allowed the Jewish priests to teach the ways of God. Israel, I can't even say, I got new glasses coming, okay? Israel was commanded to proclaim the day of salvation to all the earth, 1 Chronicles. The prophet Jonah was commanded to proclaim God's message to Nineveh. That's just Old Testament off the top of my head. Now let's go to the New Testament. the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Matthew. The church is commanded to teach the truth of Christ in all the world. Matthew 28, Mark 16. People come to faith by hearing the word of God. Now, I was raised, my mentor, your pastor knows him, Dr. Don Fraser, founder of the Bearing Precious Seed Ministry. I was in Milford, Ohio with him in 1972, I think, doing all the taping on the old-fashioned reel-to-reel that's old time, amen. When Brother Fraser put all this together for the churches to cooperate, to love one another, to print scripture, and get the scriptures to the field. When God saved me in May, 1971, I was called to preach in April, 30 days after I was saved during a missions conference. My heart's burden was, and my wife began working what they call the African desk, and we would send New Testaments to Africa. And in one of the continents in Africa, down a long river, were 6 villages, and someone had been there and won 2 or 3 to the Lord in every village and then left them. And the Macedonian call, you would not believe the letters. Please, would you come preach to us? Please give us some instructions. Would you please send us a missionary? We've got the land. We'll build the buildings, the grass hut. Would you please come? And I said, I can do that. And so God had called me to preach. He told me I was going to missions, and I said, I'll do that. I volunteer. I'm obedient. Yes. Not long about that time, I took a vacation. Brother Fraser was my first professor. He was my mentor. We went over the mountain into Mexico City into Cuernavaca to visit a missionary, Ralph McCoy, who also was a member of our church. I was there 2 or 3 days. My heart was broken. I came back out. The evangelist I was with had meetings. We left Friday to go back to Fort Worth. And I stood atop a mountain 10,000 foot high looking over across Mexico City, just a brown crust. Pollution was horrible. And as if I'm talking to you, the Holy Spirit said, this is where I want you in this country. And I said, you've already got somebody. And he said, I didn't ask you your opinion. I'm telling you where to go. Okay? I went back home and I told my wife, and she sat down and she said, what? We began to prepare and went to Bible school. I did everything that I could. I had a 3-bedroom brick home we'd built out south of Fort Worth in the city of Burleson. I traded the equity in that for a 19.5-foot travel trailer. I parked it in the front yard and I said, move into it. You've got to be joking. I said, put what you can in there, and what won't fit, sell. What you can't sell, give it away, and what you can't give away, burn. I'm going to Mexico. My parents and my mother-in-law. My mother tried to get me on welfare, and my mother-in-law, I forget what she did, food stamps or something like that. And they said, my dad said, you've lost your mind. But when God's called you, you can't do anything else. You have to go. Now let me get this down. Somebody's got to go, and somebody's got to send. Somebody has to go and learn the culture and the language and face the danger. And someone's got to stay here and pay the bills. That's the way it works. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One of the verses right there. You don't have a choice. It didn't say, and whatever you want to do. Okay? That's what faith promise is about. Some things that we learned when we were first saved. That my tithe and offerings was not mine. It belonged to God. And if I took it, I stole it. Okay? And then I learned about faith promise. And that faith promise, according to the scriptures, is not mandatory. It's voluntary. But if your heart is in the right place, the voluntary part is not a problem. And then I learned about faith promise this way. Well, if God doesn't supply it, you don't have to give it. But then I also know about human nature is, and I know that there's always somewhere for an excuse to find where your faith promise needs to be other than where it ought to be. And then I got to searching the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and it said, give of what you have, not of what you don't have. Let me give you 3 points very quickly. Already my time's going. I'm sorry. Okay? Let's talk about amassing wealth. Apart from the benevolent grace of God, we cannot amass a wealth of any kind. Our labor, our intelligence, our planning, our wisdom, everything is good except we realize, Christian, that it's from God. God remains the sole source of blessings. He is the fountainhead of life, health, food, sun, money, rain. And everything that we have comes from God. And when it comes down to it, not only does He give it to us, He owns it. We need to be obedient in giving. Okay? Look at this. I'm losing my voice. I'm sorry. Why missions? Why do you always have to be talking about money? Why do these missionaries need to go? Why do I have to give? You know the economy's bad. Do you understand that the church is broke, is not in the vocabulary of God? He does not understand it. I give you all things. It comes down to the fact that God gives it to us. He said, give me 10%. You live on 90. Then you give an offering for whatever it may be. Now, He said, this is voluntary. Now, giving voluntary also is out of obedience to a love of the Heavenly Father. But look, why? The cross is empty. He's not there. Why shouldn't we give to missions? Why shouldn't we tell the people about Christ? Look at the tomb. It's empty. He's not in the tomb. Amen. Look at the black heart. Then if He's not on the cross, and if He's not in the tomb, why are their hearts still black? Many years ago, one of my furloughs, my son was about 6, traveling through East Texas, tired, been on the road for months, visited my grandmother one afternoon, laying on her bed, windows up, air blowing through, my son outside playing. I'm listening. He was playing just outside my window. And he started witnessing the little boy. And the little boy said, what do you mean? What are you talking about when your heart's black? And my son said, well, then you don't know Jesus when your heart's black. He said, well, how do I get my heart white? My son said, I'm not sure, but my daddy knows. I sat up on the bed and had my Bible open when they came in. Amen. And I went into the Lord. Amen. I had to leave. I don't know if he ever got in church, okay? But let me tell you what happened the day that Christ died. We've read the scripture. We've heard it preached about. We know that the wind blew and the clouds came in. We know that there was thunder and there was lightning. And we know that the earth shook. And above the cross, the forces of Satan and the forces of God butted heads. And Satan said, God, do you remember Job? You told me I could do anything I want to, but I couldn't touch him. And I did it to him. God said, yeah, and I gave it back to him. He said, yeah. Well, God, let me tell you something. Your son is hanging on the cross, and he's dead. I've won. And God said, you think so? Watch this. And Jesus sat up. He took the cloth, he folded it, and he told the angels to roll the stone away, and he walked out, and he's alive. He lives in heaven. He sits upon the right hand of the Father. And he is administering the Father's affairs through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he lives in here. Amen. I don't understand. When someone knows Christ as Savior, The scripture tells us, and I think it was last night or night before last, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things, when we're saved, old things pass away. All things become new. If you met Jesus Christ, how can you not love souls? It's a heart matter. It's not here, it's in here. All right, let me give you 3 points very quickly. Giving of your money to Faith Promise the right way. Okay? 3 points very quickly. The right motive, the right spirit, and the right way. The right motive is what it's talking about here. For the love of God constraineth me to do it. My mother said to me, I don't understand, son, why are you going? And I said, for the love of God. You don't understand when you cannot eat and sleep and breathe anything but what God's called you to do. 1 John 3:1-6. Jesus laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:16-19. We love him because he first loved us. I remember the Wednesday night that I was saved. The next day, the first person I come in contact with, I grabbed and talked to him about the Lord. I didn't know what I was doing, but I had a pocket full of tracts. Let me tell you what happened to me. It is because of love. God asked us to give just a little bit more of what we have that he's given us to our church to send these missionaries around the world. Okay? Secondly, the right spirit. Leonard Ravenhill was the first book I ever read when I got saved 43 years ago. Unction in the pulpit. It should be action in the pulpit. I think it's out of print. But I copied this. The ink's almost where I can't read it. This is 43 years old. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard a drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle and let men burn and give no hand? And how can you Christians sit at ease in Zion with all the world around you damned? How can we sit and listen to the preaching of the Word of God and not want to give just a little of what God has given us through our church for worldwide evangelization? Robert Arlington, I wrote this 43 years ago. I have recently seen another statement about Arlington that he had a big inheritance and he gave it all to the church, and I'm not sure. I'm going to go with what I have, what I saw in print. He was a member of the People's Church in Toronto, Canada. Okay, Arlington lived in a single room. He cooked his own meals. He slept on the floor. He took burlap and put straw in them. Okay, he made his table from a wooden apple cart, a box, I should say, and he made his chair from another box. He tithed. He gave an offering, and he gave a faith promise. Now, this is late 1800s, early 1900s. In his lifetime, above his tithe and offering, Robert Arlington gave $500,000 to missions above his tithe and offerings. Robert, he was asked, why did you do that? And he said, far be it from me to hear the gospel once before other people have heard it twice, and I would not want to not give and have someone die for the lack of knowing about Jesus Christ. Thirdly, it's the right way. Acts 2:41-42. Let's talk about the church. Our faith promise is not given haphazardly. Our faith promise is to be given orderly. Right. It is to be done through the church. Amen. This is God's institution for propagating the gospel, for sending the missionaries. There is no other institution whereby we have the right to baptize and to give the Lord's Supper. It's the church.
Right.
Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, let me tell you about them. They were saved. They were baptized. They were church members. And they were faithful. Let me tell you something about faith promise. I'm going to close. It is not for the lost. If you're not saved tonight, you need to know Christ as Savior.
Amen.
Let me speak to your heart. Are you saved or are you playing at being saved? God knows the difference. We can go out behind here and dig a hole halfway to China and pour in it and put lead and concrete, and we're all going to die and forget where you are. But God is going to know where to resurrect the bones, okay? Faith promise is based on three things. It's a principle. Somebody said, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is the faith promise chapter. No, it's not. There is no such thing as faith promise missions chapter. It is a principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was taking an offering and he told them a year in advance, and then he collected the offering and he took it back to the church in Jerusalem. Missionaries is not in the Bible. Missions is not in the Bible. Do the work of an evangelist. I know this is going to offend somebody, but I don't read where you drive a $500,000 bus, okay? Okay, I'm sorry. I had to get that in. That's an irritation, okay? I mean that in the right spirit, all right? We should give it. It should be done through our local church. There are three type of people in the church. Those who don't know what's happening. Every church has got them. Those who watch what happens. And then those who make things happen. Be one of those that makes things happen. Be one of those that loves souls enough, and I cut my message about less than half, okay? I'm long-winded. But be one of those souls that cares. Let's talk about your faith promise giving. Sunday morning, you got your crutch. If you give what you've been giving, then your faith promise program stays the same. You're not going to progress. But if you raise your faith promise, then that brings in more income for worldwide missions through your church, and you will be able to send more missionaries.
Amen.
Not all change is good. This is one of the battles I've had in Mexico. They don't like change. And I have battled for 42 years, push and pull and prime and pump, and to get them to expand, to build. And our buildings to do things, to go on the other side. Not all change is good, but you cannot get better until you do change, and the change has to be in the right direction. But I can tell you from the Word of God that, brethren, you're screwed on the right boat, okay? You can't go wrong. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just for a second. Let me ask you a question quickly. Very quickly. Are you saved? Is there someone would say very quickly, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Just lift your hand. Is there anyone quickly? We'll move on. Another question. Are you willing to pray about your faith promise? I didn't give all the outline to the principle of the grace of giving, the principle of the vow, and the principle of the loan. It all belongs to God. I want to pray about my faith promise. We're going to have an invitation. Would you come and pray? Don't give your faith promise your faith promise on Sunday without praying about it. Would you come and pray? Old-fashioned altar.